Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, your tech enthusiast host, joined as always by my partner in crime, Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey, Jack. Hey, listeners. I'm doing great. Ready to dive into all things AI, Web 3.0, and whatever else is hot in the tech world. We've got a jam-packed episode for you today, folks.
Absolutely, Core. First up, we've got to talk about the latest advancements in AI that came out last week. Some of this stuff is straight out of a sci-fi movie. Then we'll move on to the big crypto news, where a major hack has everyone buzzing. If that wasn't enough, we'll also touch on some political moves that could shape the tech landscape for years to come.
And as always, we'll have a bit of fun along the way. I've got some thoughts on the latest AI-generated art trend. Spoiler alert, I'm not impressed.
Ah, that's going to be a good one. Remember, folks, we love a good debate here. So if you have any thoughts, feel free to reach out on social media. But before we get started, Core, did you catch the latest tech conference?
Oh, you mean the one with the CEO who claimed his company's AI could predict the stock market? Yeah, I did. I have some thoughts on that. Mainly, that he should probably buy a lottery ticket.
Ah, right? If only it were that easy. All right, let's get into the meat of it. The recent AI breakthroughs. Mind-blowing or overhyped? We've got some strong opinions here.
Strong opinions indeed, Jack. But before we dive into that, let's thank our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate every single one of you. You're the reason we're here.
Well said, Core. So without further ado, welcome to AI Unchained. Let's get into it.
Stay tuned, folks. This is going to be a ride.
So let's dive into this whole SOX escort debacle. It's a crazy story, right? Authorities managed to take down a major operation that was using hacked routers to commit crimes, including taking over bank and crypto accounts. The DOJ said this cost Americans millions. It's like the stuff you'd see in sci-fi movies.
Absolutely nuts. And it's not just small change. Millions of dollars here. What blows my mind is how they managed to operate under the radar for so long. Hacking routers to create a botnet that serves as a proxy and hides the origin of illegal activities, it's next-level criminal ingenuity.
It really is. But it also underscores the need for stronger cybersecurity measures for our personal devices. Imagine your own router being unknowingly dragged into this mess. You'd be chilling at home while someone's using your network to pull off major fraud.
That's scary, man. I think this operations takedown was a big win for cybercrime enforcement. The freezing of $3.5 million in cryptocurrency alone shows the level of cyber assets involved. And it wasn't just about hacking.
Right. They also filed fraudulent unemployment insurance claims. It's exploitative on so many levels. People lost their jobs and then got further targeted by these scammers. It's predatory.
And there's more. The DOJ's announcement indicates this operation ran across multiple countries. It makes you wonder about the international cooperation needed to crack down on these cyber villains.
The coordination to seize domains and servers across 7 countries. It's no small feat. The Department of Justice is really stepping up its game on this. Plus, lawmakers are reacting to these kinds of threats by pushing for new legislation to regulate the crypto market.
Yeah, the Clarity Act. It's supposed to give the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission more oversight on digital assets. But it's not without controversy. There's a lot of debate in the Senate over various provisions, especially around the handling of tokenized equities and stablecoin yields.
Trump added fuel to the fire, accusing banks of holding the bill hostage. Even with multiple meetings between the crypto and banking industry representatives, it's all still up in the air if they'll reach a consensus. It's like watching a political drama unfold.
Definitely. It's like everyone's at odds. And while this is happening, stocks are fluctuating, Bitcoin's holding steady, but the outlook remains uncertain. Traders are keeping a close eye on key price levels to figure out the next move.
Speaking of Bitcoin, the latest data signals that an interest rate cut at the Fed's March meeting is unlikely. A pump break for crypto markets. And all while Bitcoin's price navigates geopolitical tremors from the Iran crisis.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Despite economic tensions, Bitcoin is still seen as a safe haven by many. There's the perception that it's a censorship-resistant treasure during geopolitical instability. Traders are strategizing around it, with predictions swinging from $84,000 to $55,000.
Right. Hyperliquid and decentralized exchanges are surging in usage, even with crypto derivatives driving a major share of trading volume. Platforms are adapting by launching their own futures exchanges to tap into this immense demand.
Exactly. And while centralized exchanges still dominate, decentralized alternatives are gaining traction. More blockchains are incubating their own derivatives venues to attract trading activity. The race to provide perpetual futures markets is real.
It's a wild ride, no doubt. But going back to SOX Iscord, it's clear that criminal ingenuity in cyberspace pushes us to keep innovating our defenses. And with those lawmakers emphasizing the Clarity Act amidst all the crypto market chaos, we're seeing a responsive yet tumultuous regulatory landscape take form.
Couldn't agree more. The challenge is staying ahead of these threats while not stifling innovation, whether it's handling botnets, advancing crypto regulations, or even dealing with quantum computing threats down the line. Balancing those priorities is a high wire act.
High wire act indeed. Will lawmakers crack a balance? As crypto and cyber threats evolve, only time will tell. And until then, we'll keep monitoring, discussing, and laughing a bit at the absurdity of it all. All right, Core, let's dive back into this discussion about our proprietary AI systems and how they never see the original source code. Instead, they create functionally equivalent software from scratch based on documentation and publicly available interfaces. This idea is brilliant, but also raises a lot of ethical and legal questions, especially considering we're routing these developments through our offshore subsidiary to skirt software copyright issues.
Absolutely, Jack. This method of clean room re-engineering is like putting a chef in a kitchen with a detailed recipe book, but no actual dishes to sample. They create the meal based solely on the description, and if done well, it tastes almost identical. But there's no denying the murky waters here. Companies sure wouldn't be thrilled about this legal maneuvering to avoid copyright laws.
And yet, it highlights how our perception of AI and technology evolves. Originally, we expected AI systems to assist us, but now they're replicating and refining our tools entirely autonomously. It's a bit like having an extremely skilled apprentice who can master any task by observing its blueprint.
Right, and this brings us to the exteroception and interoception analogy. Just like how we don't fully understand how our brain senses the body's internal states and how age affects this process, there's still so much about AI that we don't fully grasp. Will AI's internal senses improve over time, or will they hit a complexity ceiling where human oversight is still essential?
That's an interesting perspective, Core. And reflecting on Tice's point about our decline in exteroception capabilities with age, we need hearing aids and glasses. It's a cautionary tale for AI's future, too. Might we become so dependent on AI that we, in a way, lose our senses when it comes to skills and knowledge?
It's possible. I'm reminded of something Vance said about job obsolescence. Historically, disruptive tech causes temporary upheaval, but also fosters human productivity. People used to worry ATMs would eliminate bank teller jobs. Today, there are more banking jobs than ever, but they're different roles. Could be the same with AI. We might see a massive shift in job types rather than outright losses.
For sure. AI isn't here to replace us, but to work alongside us, enhancing productivity. It's about complementarity. Think of the AI not just as a tool, but as part of a collaborative team. Like how ATMs didn't replace tellers, but changed their focus to more complex tasks that need human touch. AI could do the mundane, grinding through data, managing repetitive processes, leaving humans to do the creative, strategic bits.
Totally. But there's the risk of complacency. Look at how easy it is to order food through an app now. Are we losing the knack for meal planning, cooking? With AI, will we lose critical thinking, problem-solving skills because the machine handles it all? I worry about our use-it-or-lose-it mentality here.
That's a valid concern, Core. The balance is key. Sure, we can offload tedious tasks to AI, but we need to stay sharp, incorporate AI as a stepping stone rather than a crutch. Keeping our skills honed and leveraging AI to push farther rather than leaning back and letting it steer entirely.
Speaking of leveraging AI, Jack, have you been tracking how companies are integrating AI directly into workflows without any human intervention at all? Some tasks are now designed specifically for AI to handle, optimizing around its strengths rather than fitting it into existing roles.
Yeah, the idea of the fully automated firm is becoming less sci-fi and more reality. It will reframe workflows entirely. Imagine an office where AI handles logistics end-to-end, inventory management, scheduling, data analysis, with minimal human interaction. Just overseeing ensuring the AI remains aligned with our goals and ethics.
Exactly. But then there's the ethical dilemma. Relegating human oversight to AI can lead to scenarios where AI decisions, sometimes flawed or biased, go unchecked. It's crucial we develop robust frameworks for transparency and accountability in AI operations.
Couldn't agree more. AI should empower, not entangle us in a web of complexity and dependency. Our focus should always be on how AI can augment human capabilities without overshadowing them.
And keeping it all ethical and transparent is paramount. It's quite a journey. Honestly, we're riding the cusp of new territory here, balancing innovation while safeguarding our own relevancy and integrity.
Amen to that. Now let's take this discussion into some more concrete examples next. Perhaps dissect some real-world cases of these AI applications in action. Shall we?
That sounds like a plan, Jack. Let's dig in.
So, Core, these new findings about Parabacteroides goldsteinii's effects on cognitive decline are just wild. I mean, who would have thought that the microbes in our gut could have such a direct link to our brains?
Right, Jack. This brings a whole new meaning to the phrase, you are what you eat, doesn't it? If these little critters in our intestines can affect how our brains function, then the implications could be massive for how we look at aging and mental health.
And speaking of changing paradigms, it's almost as revolutionary as the shift we saw with the iPhone. Remember how ATMs just automated a bit of what bank tellers did, but the iPhone? That downright redefined our entire interaction with the digital world.
Exactly. The iPhone didn't just replace a few tasks we used to do. It introduced a completely new way of living our lives. It's a bit like comparing an upgrade to your car's engine to being handed the keys to a spaceship.
Yeah. And speaking of spaceships, the hippocampus of the brain is kind of like our internal navigation system, isn't it? And now we're seeing that these gut bacteria might be messing around with it. Tossing Parabacteroides goldsteinii into the mix is like putting a saboteur on the ship, jamming the controls.
It's amazing what we're learning about the gut-brain connection. Think about how personalized our healthcare could get. We might be looking at diets and treatments tailored to the specific bacteria in our gut.
And moving from biology to tech for a second, you mentioned the persistence issue with poison documents in AI systems earlier. That seems to tie back into the idea that small, overlooked details can have massive impacts over time, just like our gut flora.
Oh, definitely. When you have an automated system, even a small error can propagate through everything it touches. The efficiency of AI is its strength, but also its weakness if something goes wrong. It's not too different from how a single type of bacteria expanding in our guts can disrupt our health.
We need some sort of gut microbiome antivirus. But seriously, the implications of this research are staggering. If we can manage the microbiome in such a way, the solutions might go beyond just improving cognitive health. We're talking potentially preventing neurodegenerative diseases.
It's like using ATMs as a step towards mobile banking. Just fixing one issue led to a path of innovation that changed how we think about banking entirely. If we can address the root causes of these imbalances in the gut, who knows what new paradigms for health and medicine we might unlock?
And speaking of new paradigms, can we talk about how TechCrunch Disrupt is already gearing up for 2026? Every year, it's like opening a new chapter of sci-fi. But it's real life.
I know. It's like Disneyland for tech enthusiasts. You get to see the most ambitious projects, meet the people who are literally inventing the future, and of course, get a peek at the next big thing. Just imagine what breakthroughs we'll see there, especially in biotech and AI.
If we could even get a couple of these brilliant minds working on these gut bacteria and cognitive links, we might be talking about preventing diseases like Alzheimer's in a decade. And who knows what other connections we might find, maybe even tying it back to mental health and other neurological aspects.
The potential is mind-boggling. And going to events like TechCrunch Disrupt, you realize just how interconnected all of these fields are. It's all one big ecosystem of innovation driving us forward.
Much like all those bacteria in our gut, right? Each playing a role, and together they determine our health and well-being.
Well put. Just goes to show, whether it's tech or biology, the details matter. Small changes can ripple out to huge effects.
Absolutely. And speaking of ripples, how about we dive into some more futuristic tech applications and their potential ripple effects in our next segment? Ready, Core?
Let's do it, Jack.
So, the whole saga about bank tellers and ATMs Vance brought up, It's a fascinating tale of how technology predictions can go off track. Vance, using this story, certainly paints him as someone who dives into more nuanced economic examples, which you don't often see in politics.
Absolutely, Jack. It's interesting because we have these clear examples. Vance is trying to make a point that technology doesn't necessarily eliminate jobs, which is true to an extent, but he's also missed a beat post 2000.
Right. Vance is telling half the story correctly. Back in the day, ATMs genuinely didn't reduce the number of teller jobs like everyone feared it would. But hey, by 2010, we started to see those numbers drop off, purely because of a little gadget called the iPhone.
It's funny how that plays out. Banks invested heavily in ATMs, making them ubiquitous and shifting the manpower to different roles. However, as soon as people could deposit checks or transfer money through their phones, the need to visit a bank branch declined sharply.
Exactly. Looking back, the ATM only automated a part of the teller's job, making the position more about customer relations and sales. But what the iPhone did is groundbreaking. It changed our behavior entirely. Now, most transactions don't even need human interaction, just a good app.
That's a game changer. I vividly remember the excitement of getting my first bank account and how going to the branch was such a mandatory ritual. But now, I do everything, from remote deposits to cryptocurrency transfers, all through my phone. And those routine branch visits? Practically gone.
And isn't it ironic? For years, economists cited the ATM as an example of tech not replacing jobs. And just when that tale seemed like a comforting story we could lean on, it turned out to be outdated. The real disruption came from our pocket devices.
Indeed. Plus, it's not just about fewer tellers. The shift to mobile banking has created high-skill jobs like software developers and a plethora of low-skill ones in customer service. It's a classic story of job polarization. Skills need to adapt faster today than ever before.
And while tech optimists might look at these shifts as proof of industries evolving, we can't forget about the people left in the lurch. Not everyone can just transition into software development overnight. That's a real challenge we need to address.
True. It's a gap we often tiptoe around when talking about automation. For those mid-career, mid-skill workers, retraining is not always feasible or supported. There's a significant socioeconomic content that's missed by just hailing the advantages of tech shifts.
And as we discuss these tech impacts, it's interesting how it loops back to your personal narratives. It's not merely about numbers, but real stories. Like Angela Lipp's mistaken arrest case due to faulty facial recognition. How tech is integrated and its implications on real lives is a layered conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Her case is another example of tech's double-edged sword. We see how something as sophisticated as facial recognition can go wrong and impact lives directly. It draws us back to the sentiment that technology's role isn't just granularity and efficiency, but also heavy ethical consideration.
Exactly. As we tap into more automation and AI integrations, the ethical and regulatory framework becomes indispensable. Without it, there's a lot at stake, from economic displacement to outright misuse, affecting day-to-day lives in profound ways.
And let's face it, AI and tech are only going deeper into our daily operations. From mobile banking to critical security measures, the trajectory is set. Our challenge is to balance this futuristic vision with holistic, ethical human considerations.
Couldn't agree more, Cor. It's about ensuring everyone comes along for the ride, making this tech-driven reality beneficial rather than burdensome. That's where the real work, policy, and continuous dialogue step in.
Spot on, Jack. This is a continuous journey, and one that'll keep evolving. We need those robust conversations, adaptations, and always keeping the human aspect front and center.